Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome into Bartholomew Town's continuing coverage of the impact of COVID-19 here in Rhode Island. I'm Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, a discussion with the head of the bus drivers union here in Rhode Island, Thomas Cutes, and what his drivers are experiencing out on the roadways. And I'll continue to bring you as much content as possible, podcasts almost every day, daily social media content on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Zoom and Facebook live streams, and much more, trying to keep you informed and also entertained as well. Got some stuff coming up later this week that'll, you know, verge away from the hard news and hopefully into more of that entertainment side of the podcast. Plus, I'm going to re-release some classic episodes that you may have missed from over the course of the past 2 years. If you have a story, information of any kind, feel free. You can always email me, bill@ripodcast.com, or call me, 401-524-6825. Let's get right to it. I mean, what are your drivers experiencing out there on the roads right now, inside the bus, in terms of inside the facilities, whether it's, you know, just a bus stop or if it's the Kennedy Plaza experience itself?
Well, Kennedy Plaza has been closed down, the building that services the customer service window and public restrooms, but it's still open to our people to use the restroom. So that's a secure place for us. On the bus, we've been limiting the front of the bus to the first couple of rows of fold-up seats for wheelchairs. And Ripter has been put signs there that that's a zone that's got to be kept free for the bus operator. But one of the things that other transit systems are doing around the country is they're not collecting fares. They moved the fare box to the rear door, and they're only going through the rear door to keep the bus operator even more secure from having contact with, someone that might be infected or be carrying the virus. They haven't done that here at Ripta yet, and I've asked for it. But as to this point, they're still going through the front door. And, that's a concern of ours.
Is that a capacity question, or what could possibly be the
reason? Right now, it's probably got to do with, most likely it's the law. ADA laws are very encompassing as far as, people with disabilities. But I don't think any of my drivers or any staff here at Ripta would leave someone in a wheelchair, stranded because they can't sit in the front of the bus. But there's a problem there for people with disabilities because the front of the bus lowers and the wheelchair ramp is there. But, folks who are disabled, probably would be more even wiser for them to, be in quarantine until either the numbers level off in Rhode Island or some further word comes from the government about what they expect the citizens to do next.
Kennedy Plaza's closed. I was down there about a week ago, though, and you see people utilizing the machines to purchase bus tickets. That's direct hand and really no way to sanitize yourself. I couldn't find anything anyway as I was there. I was there for a few hours watching people purchase bus tickets one after the other and get on a bus.
Right.
I didn't see anyone clean it in the time I was there. What's your take on that?
Well, I know they have extra staff that is down there today. In fact, we're using some of our drivers that work in the ride, the flexible service division, because of lack of work, there's no work for a lot of them, so they've been employed to assist our utility department and keeping things sanitized around the property and on buses. And we're appreciative of the fact that everybody's getting a paycheck here right now.
Yep. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you face overall right now, your membership? Is it a matter of the public not having an awareness that you're a vulnerable workforce, or is it something that's a specific danger that's happening right now?
Well, I think that we're vulnerable to the fact that an individual could be out there that has the disease and riding from bus to bus. And, you know, it's you don't know. I mean, if they're not asymptomatic, they're not showing any symptoms of it, they could still be carrying the virus. And, you know, that infects a driver or other staff person, and they bring it home to their family. And, you know, I don't know what would happen if they found out a couple of drivers tested positive here. What's going to be the protocol? Are they gonna shut the garage down, or you know, are they gonna shut service down? We haven't crossed that bridge yet, and I hope we don't have to, because RIPT is a lifeline for many people, including those who work in the hospitals and transportation, and have to get to their jobs because their jobs are essential. So right now we carry normally about 59 to 60,000 people a day. And I believe we're down to about a little over half our ridership is still riding, which means they're going to work in some capacity, you know.
And the significant portion of that ridership, as you mentioned just now, they're healthcare workers.
Right. We have a lot of service into the hospitals, including, you know, Merriam Hospital off North Main Street. There's a short walk either from Hope Street or North Main Street on the number one or our line buses that run quite frequently, that folks can walk a couple of blocks and just be into, you know, the hospital facility. We go right to the front door of Rhode Island Hospital, and, you know, we have there's about 12,000 people that work there, and combined with women and infants, and, you know, the ambulatory building and the other buildings that are associated with Rhode Island Hospital.
What's been your experience outside of Providence, some of the routes that, you know, obviously I think it's the 60 or the 66 that goes Newport to Providence, you know, routes.
The ridership's been low on the 66. I was talking to an operator who was on my executive board, and he was telling me that, you know, that he had a couple of trips where there's very, very little ridership because the URI generates a great deal of passenger work. And we go all the way to the Port of Galilee, and a lot of the college students that live off campus live down in Galilee, and you know that ridership to Galilee has been off. Express service has been off, but there are still some folks going to work, obviously, and we're here to, you know, keep the economy going as best we can.
What's the most, I guess, I should rephrase it. What sort of communication have you had with CEO RIPTA CEO Avedisian, and you know that classic management field? Are they on board?
We're across the street, and you know, we're working through our problems collectively and as adults. So, you know, we're not going to agree on everything, but you know, today, you know, there's different sets of problems that happen every day that we have to address, because this is a whole new norm, and we're getting our way, we're working our way around our problems. Let me put it that way, to the best of our abilities on both sides.
Kind of last question.
I'm only a phone call away from him, actually, and my office is across the street from his. And if need be, I can go right over there, or if he needs me for something, then we're in constant communication with each other.
Last question. What's your message to Rhode Islanders, whether they are a person who takes the bus every day or someone who's never even used a RIPTA service whatsoever? What's your message as far as, number one, the work that your membership is doing, and number two, how they as an individual can protect not only your drivers, but also the infrastructure, the critical infrastructure that you operate?
Well, first let me say that on behalf of the members is that they're displaying a high level of patriotism and sense of care for their fellow citizens, and they're special people, just as all the police and firemen and healthcare workers that are getting recognition. Transit workers need to get recognition too, because all over this country, with very few exceptions, they are manning their posts and they are doing their jobs, either as train operators, bus operators, you know, dispatchers, mechanical department, supervisors. They're all working, and they're doing the same set of problems we're having here in Rhode Island versus you know, other states are similar. And to the riding public, I would just ask that if you are sick, stay home. And, you know, wait till you feel better or get a test, hopefully, if it's not coronavirus. But if you're coughing and you're feverish, don't get on a bus and, you know, and spread it to other people, including the driver. And if you can, protect yourself by wearing, you know, gloves and a mask if you have one. And, you know, just be kind to each other.
You think this will sort of provide an awakening to how critical public transportation is to any infrastructure, societally, particularly here in Rhode Island, where, you know, all of a sudden, yeah, you're out there. And I agree, it is highly American, highly patriotic to be operating the bus system right now. And I give you a ton of credit, and people should lump you into that same category as other people who are fighting the good fight right now. But do you think people, when this is all said and done, I guess this is esoterical, really, this question, but people will say, wow, you know what, buses, bus drivers, that fits into our critical infrastructure the same way that our police, fire, our dams, our internet, whatever it may be. Do you think people have that understanding after this event?
I believe they'll see it in a different light, especially the state leaders, because we're used to handling a lot of different situations, whether it's snowstorms, hurricanes, fires. I mean, the Station Nightclub fire, we provided buses to go down there and keep the firemen warm and to help evacuate people who were ambulatory. And we're always here. And it's important that it gets taken care of and supported by the public, that we have a vibrant and successful and efficient public transit system, which, we get the ground basis for to have a great system here. And I believe that in the future, folks will look at this time and remember that RIPTA was part of the solution, not the problem. And we were there when a time of need, when the fellow citizens needed us. You know, my members of ATU 618 stood up and put themselves at great risk to help their fellow man.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.